The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Once upon a time, in the simpler years of the 80s and the 90s, our culture gave us such sweet morsels as The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous and its spinoff, Runaway with the Rich and Famous. Fascinating. One guilty pleasure after another. And then in 2005, our culture bravely ventured into new territory. It began with The Real Housewives, a misnomer if ever there was one, of Orange County. But that proved so popular and so profitable, so popular and profitable, that from such modest beginnings, an entire franchise grew. There are now, or have been, Real Housewives of, are you ready, New York, Atlanta, New Jersey, D.C., Beverly Hills, Miami, Potomac, Dallas, and beginning this year, Salt Lake City. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody and ask you if you watch these shows, because I sure don't. Add to that an additional 13 international locations, plus 18 spinoffs, including The Candy Factory, Candy's Wedding, Candy Coat at Night, all featuring the one and only Candy Burris. I don't know who she is, but, and you get a glimmer of what our culture values and is fascinated by. Fame, fashion, and fortune, anyone? All the more shocking, then, that the values and the vision of the good life that Jesus gives us today is so totally different. Who really are the blessed? Who truly are the fortunate and the favored ones? Who are the ones that, by the original meanings of the words, are enviable and those we should be looking up to? According to Jesus, they are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, and those who are persecuted and reviled for daring to live this way. Talk about countercultural. Talk about having a different vision of the good life and what it means to be favored by God. Talk about a way of living that is the polar opposite of a culture that is totally obsessed with the lifestyles of the rich and the famous, and that keeps generating the so-called Real Housewives out of just about every major city in the United States. And do you know what? I suspect that Jesus' values and visions of the good life and those to be envied and looked up to were nearly as radical and countercultural in his day as in our day. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And what are we asking for? In confirmation class, and we're just working on this week and next week, we learned that in each of these cases, we're not asking for God to do something. As Luther constantly reminds us, God is making God's kingdom come whether we pray for it or not. And God's will be done by God on earth as it is in heaven. Again, whether you and I pray for it or not. So what are we praying for? What are we asking God's help on? We are praying. In fact, we're enlisting and we're volunteering to be a part of bringing in God's kingdom and joining with God and doing God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And today's texts give us the blueprints. Ever since Jesus proclaimed them, people have had trouble knowing what to do with Jesus' Beatitudes. Are we supposed to do them? Are we supposed to be pure in spirit or mourn whether or not somebody dear to us has died? No, that doesn't seem to be what Jesus is saying, which is why it's so helpful to know what stands behind the word translated as blessed from Jesus in the Beatitudes. In Hebrew and Aramaic that Jesus spoke, the meaning behind the word blessed in our text is something like enviable. And in cases like this, it means that these are the ones we should look up to. They are the ones God favors. They sketch the blueprint for God's will and the kingdom of heaven. So who are they? Who are the blessed or enviable? They are the opposite of the lifestyle of the rich and famous. They are the true, not the fake, housewives, such as seen in our homes and in our mirrors, and most definitely not the stars of those TV shows. God favors the powerless and the poor. God favors the broken and dispirited. God stands with the persecuted and the oppressed. God favors those who need God and who plead for God. But these aren't the only blueprints contained in today's readings. I love this story. Among the rabbis, our first reading from Micah was always considered very special. My dear friends have this passage from Micah on their tombstone. And this story explains why. Rabbi Simlai, when preaching, said, 613 precepts were communicated to Moses, 613 laws. Micah, he then said, came and reduced these 613 laws to three principles. As it is written, he quoted, "He has told you, O human, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, only to do justice, to love goodness, and to walk humbly with your God." In my words, what this wise rabbi is saying, when you look at it and wish to observe all 613 laws and precepts given by God in the Old Testament or Hebrew scriptures, what do you do? Where do you begin? And where do you end? In addition to Jesus' Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount, today's reading from Micah also gives us a blueprint. The rabbi explains, to do justice, he says, this concerns justice. And to love goodness, this concerns acts of kindness. And to walk humbly with your God, this concerns walking side by side with others in joy and in sorrow. I began my sermon by mentioning two terrible examples of where our culture is today. Our fascination with the lifestyles of the rich and famous, and the ever-growing series of the so-called Real Housewives. TV shows where housewives are anything but real. Once upon a time, I used to think that Christianity could live easily and cozily within our culture. That being a Christian, being a human being, were virtually one and the same thing. And how wrong I was. The culture, our culture, values power and riches, being on top and pushing everyone and everything to the bottom. The blueprints that you and I are given today value something entirely different. Those whom God blesses, we are to look up to, the poor in spirit, the persecuted, the meek, the mourning. And Micah, at least according to one tradition, gives us another way to summarize all 613 of God's commands: to do justice, to love goodness, and to walk humbly with your God. These are our blueprints. This is what we mean when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen.